Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of We Are Faith. So excited to be discussing a topic that's very near and dear to our hearts today, with this idea of servitude and being a servant. You know, FTC is having a week this week that's dedicated to pouring into our volunteers through things like a leadership summit and a volunteer dinner and different ways in which we just let them know how much they are appreciated. And so in that spirit, we kind of had the thought of coming back to that idea and really discussing what it means to be a servant. And this idea that servanthood doesn't always see immediate dividends, or even dividends that we'll ever see, right? We may never be able to see the end result of the fruits of our labor as servants. And so we wanted to take a little while and just discuss that in the spirit of that weekend that's coming up. So, you know, my thoughts on servanthood and what I always think of whenever I think of it is the scripture that's found in Matthew. And I think it's so profound. It says, Matthew 25:40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." And so servanthood isn't this concept of pouring into something with the expectation of something in return. It's not about going and trying to lay up treasures or trying to get treasures through our servanthood, but we do it because of the necessity of it.
You do it to serve God.
Right.
When you're serving others, you're serving Him.
Exactly.
And I think that it's important to note that He was the ultimate example of a servant.
Right.
His ministry was all about serving others and what He could do for others. It says in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man come not to be ministered to, but to minister and mm-hmm. to give His life a ransom for many." He didn't come to be served.
Right.
He came to serve.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that that's so profound when I think of this idea of a king being the one to serve me.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of somebody whose bloodline on this earth extended all the way back to the very beginning, when I think of somebody that literally could have called 10,000 angels to pull him off the cross, who still chose to serve me in that way, I think it's such a beautiful thing. And it should inspire every one of us. It should push us to go further and to do more. And I think, you know, to that point, you know, honey, all we've ever really known is full-on servitude, mm-hmm. right? I think our Christian experience, our walk with God has been, a string of smaller churches and home missions work. And, you know, that's been it's obviously has a necessity in this world. I think that, you know, small churches and home missions work, you know, I've said it before, please don't give up. Don't surrender to the exhaustion of doing that. But I do also, you know, think that that time in our life was a training ground for where we are now. And so I say that to say, you know, kind of a little bit of my background is in home missions work, and that my dad was a pastor, and being a preacher's kid and a pastor's kid and all of the things, you kind of end up with sort of everything being dumped in your lap. I'm a musician as well. I play drums. I know how to run sound. And so, you know, we kind of found ourselves in this place where we were running the sound. We were setting up the instruments every week. We were making sure the lights got turned on. I mean, things all the way down to making sure that the church got locked up at the end of the day. And they're all small things, right? I don't want to make it sound as if, you know, any of it was a burden. But this idea of serving and this mentality of serving, I think, is something that you have to kind of shift yourself into and accept that idea.
We have such amazing volunteers, and we have people who are willing, you know, to do the big tasks and the small tasks. But coming from such a small church and a small, gathering of people, you know, where everyone is overlapping in departments. Like, there is no departments at mm-hmm. where we came from. It mm-hmm. was These are the list of things you have to do.
Right.
Somebody do them. I don't care who it is. It just has to get done. And I think that has been so, like you said, a training ground for us, but also so beneficial too, because it helps us realize that every task is vital.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that is not, you know, nothing's too big, nothing too small. It's all important and it all has to get done so that, you know, church can continue and God can receive the glory at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't want to necessarily take it to a super preachy place, but I think it has to be said, you know, God help me if I ever begin to resent, you know, my servitude.
Right.
Or begin to resent my servanthood in the place that I am now. You know, because I do look back and I see the weariness of my family as we labored in these, you know, small, in the smaller work, and you know, weren't seeing the progress necessarily that we wanted to see, but you know, your finances are tied up in it, your time is tied up in it, your blood, sweat, and tears are tied up in it, and it, you know, it can be a very exhausting thing. So I say that to say to our home missions brothers and sisters, to our smaller churches out there, you know, don't give up and don't quit. Don't stop because the servitude is difficult. I've been where you are. My wife has been where you are. And, you know, the road has an end. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And you've been called to the city that you've been called to for a reason. And so I say that all that to say, in the place that we're at now, it just makes me so grateful that we have the staff that we do, and that we have the volunteers that we do, and that we have a place where everybody's eager to raise their hand and say, you know, Sister Rosie, I'll go sweep that floor, or you know, Sister Caitlin, I'll be willing to sing this week. I'll step up. And it's incredible to see that, because we don't come from a place where that was in abundance. I think the whole praise team in our previous church was three singers, correct?
No, it was just three people.
Yeah, yeah. And
it was the piano, the drums, and one singer. I mean, the piano player sung too, but it was right. It was just three people.
Right. And we had church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had church, and God moved, and there was a, you know, a some very phenomenal moves of God through all of that. But I look back and I think, you know, how much more could that have been had we had, you know, a staff on the level, or a volunteer team on the level that we are now, right? And that's not to bash anybody or to say that anybody wasn't doing their part or filling their role. We just simply didn't have the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was working, but we just did not have the numbers. And so it makes me thankful. It makes me grateful for everybody that we have and everybody that we get to serve with.
I think, too, it goes into the mentality of it all. Like, when you come from a smaller church, and not to keep going back to that, I don't want to compare smaller churches to big churches, that they're all important. They all have a purpose. But when you come from a place where you do not have the numbers, and so everyone has to do all of the things, if you're not careful, it will feel like a job,
mm-hmm.
rather than, you know, the blessing of getting to serve in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And I think it's important to note that, like, serving is a form of worship.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that the transitions in our lives have taught me is that I took a lot of things for granted where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I looked at serving as something I had to do instead of something I get to do. I get to serve. I get to sing on the platform. I get to play the piano. I get to open the doors. I get to, you know, show my light to other people. Serving right. is so important. And I know that, you know, all aspects of church are important, but I think when you think about it through the lens of worship,
right,
it just changes the perception of how you want to serve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you may start off with doing the task because the pastor asked you to do it. But when you look at it through the lens of it being your form of worship, how you complete that task changes.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's a great segue into kind of the next thought of, you know, specifically to anybody who is looking for something to do. And anybody who's looking to be a volunteer or be a servant or start progressing into the ministry, I can 100% tell you, no matter what church you're attending, whether it's Faith Tabernacle, whether it's, you know, whatever the church may be, there's a place for you to serve.
Mm-hmm.
I can 100% guarantee that if you go to the Sunday school teacher and you say, hey, do you need any help, you know, wrangling all these kids on Sunday morning? That Sunday school teacher is going to probably offer to cook you lunch or something, because that would be such a blessing, right? I could think about, you know, back to my times as of being a youth leader, and I had, you know, some very big classes and then some very small classes at times. And then on the days when I had those big classes, if somebody would have came back and been like, hey, can I help you wrangle all these teenagers? I would.
I did. that was my job.
And that, yes. Yeah. I mean, yes, absolutely. And when you did, I was immensely grateful, right? Mm-hmm. It was such a huge blessing, but you know, that can be any department. I can say, you know, I can only really speak for Faith Tabernacle at this time, but when I think about like the times that, you know, we've been short a singer or we've been short somebody to help clean or something like that, how many times would they have been so grateful if somebody would have been there to jump in and fill that gap? And so I say to you today who's listening, there is definitely a place for you to serve. There is 100% somewhere for you to go. And I will say this. It may not be the platform.
Right.
It may not be the pulpit, but it may be a pulpit somewhere else. The jail ministry. If you have a jail ministry operating out of your church, I did that as for a while as well. And I can tell you that having support with something like that is such a blessing, right? I can tell you certifiably, your home Bible study ministry, they need help. And, you know, if you're searching for a pulpit, there is a plethora of pulpits in the church to be found. It just may not be the one that the pastor preaches in every Sunday. And that's okay. That's absolutely okay.
Right. And to your point about, you know, those looking for a place to serve, I think it's important to note that you need to be planted somewhere.
Right.
I think in the generation that we are in now, in the generation that's up and coming, we often forsake being able to gather,
mm-hmm.
you know, together in one place and to worship God. But you need to be planted somewhere. You need to have your roots in the soil somewhere, faithfully attending, giving, loving, and serving. And to go back to a little bit of our church culture, I think our motto has been love, serve, grow, and go. And I hope I didn't say that wrong. So if I did, Pastor, I am so sorry. But I think that, you know, motto in itself is so important, because you can't achieve those things if you're not planted.
Right.
Planted there. You know, church isn't an event that you attend. It's a community that you belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes each and every person and each and every task to make the community work, to make the kingdom work, to further the kingdom of God. You know, and I think that we have to step away from, you know, how do I get to the top? Like, how do I do the tasks that get me recognized?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to realize that, you know, every task is important, and it doesn't deserve a title, but every act of service is important, and every act of service is needed. Like, right. We need someone to straighten the chairs at the end of the service, just mm-hmm. like we need somebody to turn the heat on when it's 25 degrees outside.
Right, right. And shout out to our executive pastor, Pastor Ashley Neal, who aligns our chairs with a laser level. We appreciate you. we pick on you about it a lot, right? But we appreciate that level of dedication and service, right? And so, you know, absolutely, to your point, you have to be planted in a church and in some place that allows you that room to grow, because part of being a disciple, part of being a member of the body, is this desire that we all have to do something, right? I think, you know, when you're first come into the body and you see all these things that are being done and you see the souls that are being won to the kingdom and you see the great things that are taking place in everybody's ministries. And that sets a fire in us, right? But the only way that we can operate in those things and be effective is to have the consistency of a place that we come back to every week, to have the consistency of people that we connect with every week, to have the consistency of, quite frankly, the leadership of a pastor. We can't operate effectively in our servitude without having somebody that leads and guides and directs us in that way.
Right, and that you also, you know, serve with the right attitude. I think when it comes to volunteering and serving in the church, we need to make sure that our primary focus is on serving others, which in turn serves God, rather than trying to serve ourselves and earn ourselves some type of recognition. And I think to that point, it kind of just transitions us into one of the main thoughts that I had when we were talking about this topic or thinking about doing this topic, is that you don't have to receive recognition to do something important in the kingdom of God. You don't have to have an official title to be a vital member of the church. And I think too that, you know, there's a danger in having titles in the church. I feel like personally, I feel like titles often distract us from the heart of the service. You know, people could end up serving, you know, so they get the recognition rather than because they love God and they have a heart to serve and want to better and further the kingdom of God.
Right. I think it's a two-edged sword. You know, there's times that the titles that we hold in the church challenge me to be better.
Right.
But then there's times where it feels like I just can't live up to that standard, you know, or that title that I've been given. It's like, you know, I hear somebody call me Pastor Josh and I'm like, who? I hear somebody say the small group pastors and I'm like, us? Are y'all talking about us? You know, but to your point, you know, it's not something that we do because we want that title. It's because there's a calling, right? You know, the Bible says that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And that kind of goes back to the heart of it all, that this idea of serving and of being called to serve is a form of worship and a form of obedience and a form of what we are called to do in our calling anyway. And so we do it because the scripture tells us to do it, not because we want to be somebody or be something. And if I can, you know, wax a little bit psychological here, I'm stepping into my wife's territory again, but I'll briefly step in and step back out. You know, I think that we are kind of locked into this idea, you know, based upon our culture of, you know, work hard, get promoted, work hard, get promoted, work hard, get promoted, right? But the church isn't a job that we do. It's a labor, but it's not a job.
Right.
It's work, but it's not a job. We're not here for the promotion. We're not here for the next level. We're not here for social or cultural advancement, right? We are here to promote him and him crucified, right? That is our job. And that's the whole reason why we scrub a toilet, why we mop a floor, why we straighten chairs, why we show up, you know, early for practice when we're scheduled to sing or scheduled to play. It's the reason why we do those things.
Right. And not to cut you off, but to use your analogy of, you know, in the secular world, we work, you know, to learn more, to be better so we can get promoted. But in the kingdom of God, no position is higher than the other. You know, they all serve a purpose, and that is, you know, for the kingdom of God. And when we emphasize titles or we put the pressure on, you know, wanting to have a title or wanting to receive recognition, it can, you know, it can cause us to forget why we're doing what we're doing. It can cause a sense of competition rather than collaboration within the body of Christ. And it's not a competition. Like, to be honest with you, I would never want to be the pastor of a church.
Preach.
Never.
Preach.
There, you couldn't pay me enough. That is just not my calling. That's not what's laid on my heart. That's not
Okay, but can you be careful saying that too much? Because the first thing that's going to happen is we're going to get called to do something we keep saying we don't want to do. So
I don't. And if you know, if God does call us, you know, to that place, you know, we would, just like we do now, we would accept the call and we would serve to the best of our ability. But as of this moment, I would never want to be a pastor. I'm right. fine occasionally singing in the church, playing the piano, you know, helping you lead the small groups and doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. Because my serving in the ministries that I'm at, to me, is just as important to me as pastor's calling is to him. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want it to seem like we serve because we want to get to a higher place. You know, like you said, I don't want to, not to put a date on this episode, but we did do Sunday school this morning and mm-hmm. we were talking about the bloodline and how the bloodline, you know, everyone that is a son or daughter of Christ has the same bloodline. We're all capable of the same things.
Right.
And your title, when you stand before God, he's not going to recognize you by your title. Like, he's not going to say, oh, you're the pastor, you get to go in, mm-hmm. or you just clean the church, you get to go in. Like, he's going to look at the things that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be focused on, you know, what we're called to do, which is, you know, to serve others and ultimately serve God, not pursuing climbing the church ladder, so to speak, or, you know, trying to get a title that we may never get. Because at the end of the day, like, there's only so many departments and so many titles that you can give in a church, but mm-hmm. there is never a shortage in the amount of jobs that are in the kingdom of God.
Right. Absolutely.
When we were thinking about this, the example that came to my mind is the shepherd and the sheep herders. The shepherd stands in front of the flock, guides the flock. Mm-hmm. He'll leave the flock to go to get someone and to bring them back, but there are sheep herders. And the sheep herders are often at the back of the flock. They make sure that no one gets lost, but their job is just to encourage the sheep to keep going. Mm-hmm. And I would even venture to say that those sheep herders are, you know, borderline just as important as the shepherd. You know, they make sure that while the shepherd is looking forward, that nobody gets lost as you travel across.
Right. Right. And I think that your statement about competition is so profound. You know, we've heard testimonies and stories of new leaders and new talents coming into the church and beginning to fill roles that maybe more seasoned members of the church or even, you know, church elders have filled. I think it's important to keep that in mind. And I'll if we're hearkening back to our Sunday school lesson, I'll steal something from our Sunday school lesson too. I made a statement that comparison is the thief of joy,
mm-hmm.
and comparing leads to competing. If it comes to a point where I'm constantly comparing myself to another person in the church and constantly comparing my ministry to theirs or my position or my title or, you know, the way that I preach or the way that I play drums or the way that I play guitar or how well I mop that floor or how well I lead the parking team, right? All of those things lead to competition. And I can hopefully step out here and be a little bold by saying that there is no place for competition in the church.
Right.
There is no place for competition in God's kingdom. I think that having someone in your life that you aspire to, for example, I aspire to be at the same level as my pastor because Pastor, Mayor, Principal, Father Michael Patterson is a legend. I mean, the things that he's able to accomplish. And, you know, I aspire to be on the level of Bishop as well. I mean, these great men that have done such great things for the kingdom. But I refuse to allow myself to get to a place where it becomes a competition with these great men. Because not only do I do myself a disservice, I do the people that I serve a disservice by allowing my flesh to control my reason for wanting to serve in the first place.
Right. I think going back to making sure that we have the right attitude, I think that, you know, we need to make sure that we're in the right headspace and heart space to even serve. Like when we serve, we want to serve humbly and selflessly and driven by love and not by competition, not by recognition, not by comparison. You know, like I said a minute ago, there is an infinite amount of jobs that could be completed in the kingdom of God. And if you are, you know, so driven that you want to, you know, do all the things, but do it because you want to serve other people, not because you want to serve yourself.
Right. Right. Yeah. There's no need for that in the house of God. There's no need for a competition or a bad attitude or a bad spirit about why we serve or what we're serving or the department we're serving in. We said it at the beginning, and I want to make sure that we emphasize this, that it is a blessing and a privilege. You know, the Old Testament, some of the greatest prophets that were ever there would have been amazed to see the opportunities that we have now and the places of worship that we have now. And I can't help but think that Daniel, Samuel, Nathan would have been so pleased to be able to push a broom, to be able to straighten out chairs, to be able to stand in someone's home and teach a home Bible study. These men who were persecuted and were condemned for the things that they believed. And we even go back to, or we can even go even further and talk about specifically the New Testament disciples that would have been so thrilled to be in the place that we are now. And again, going back to that idea, they were persecuted and ridiculed and put to death for their faith, right? And I don't want to take that to a dark place, but God forbid that we ever get to a place where we forget why we're doing it and the, I guess, just how great we have it to be able to even do the things that we can do.
Right, and to the point of how great we have it. And again, I know that our podcast isn't just for our church, but to speak about Faith Tabernacle for a second, we are an extremely blessed church. We have the best pastoral team, staff, and I believe our church is so great at volunteering and having people serve because our leaders have created a culture of volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
Like you will see them at the front lines, and it's not just to check a box to say they did the things. Like when you were talking about Pastor Ashley and straighten the chairs, he doesn't just do that to say, okay, the chairs are straight. He does it authentically.
Mm-hmm.
It's an authentic act of service. He's doing it from his heart. He's doing it because, you know, he sees it's a job that needs to be done, but he also recognizes the importance of having straight chairs and the perception that that has when somebody new walks into the sanctuary. And because we have such great leaders that, you know, volunteer and do the things that they're, you know, asking us to do, they've created, you know, a unified church. Mm-hmm. You know, they were and are some of the greatest models of what it means to be a servant, that pretty much everyone in our church serves in some capacity. And I love it. And I think that that is such a beautiful thing to have. And if you don't have that, find that.
Right. Right. To your point, I'll use a very specific example. Our campus has an older septic system. And so at times things happen where it may back up and it causes us to have incidents, you know, with our restroom, or our restrooms may be out of order because of it. And you said that our leaders will put themselves on the front line.
Right.
I watched our pastor's 17-year-old son snake out the clean out drain of our line that goes to our septic system today.
Without
hesitation and with a smile on his face,
yeah.
Right? Now, listen, I'm not saying that you have to snake out a clean out drain on a septic system with a smile on your face to enter into the kingdom of God. Please don't misunderstand me, right? But, you know, to our leaders that may listen to this, and I'm not just speaking to Faith Tabernacle, I'm speaking to anybody who may be listening that is a leader in your church, you know, lead from the front line. I hear it said all the time that, you know, I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. And I think that that's the way that we're called to lead. That's the way that we are expected to do things, right? I think even of Christ and his sacrifice, right? If you think that Christ didn't see down the road and know, you know, he even says in his word that you'd be persecuted for my name's sake, right? That he didn't look down the road and know that all of these men, these great men that followed him, were one day going to be put to death in very painful and terrible ways. He didn't ask them to do anything that he wasn't willing to do for his people as well.
I think to that point, too, you can't be selective in your servitude. And I'm not saying that, you know, everyone should preach just because somebody asked them to, or everyone should lead a service in the music department because somebody asked them to. If that's really not your wheelhouse, then don't do it. I'm speaking more along the lines of the tasks that need to be done for the church to operate, such as, you know, talking about Brother Corbin and his willingness to snake out the drain. He didn't say, no, please get somebody else to do it.
Ew.
I am the pastor's son. I'm not doing that. You know, it was, I'm not going to say he was thrilled about it. You know, it stinks and it's nasty, but you know, the boy did it with a smile on his face. And I can't think of, and not to, you know, sing his praises as a person, but you know, all the glory be to God. I can't think of too many other 17-year-olds who would do that mm-hmm. happily and then be done, you know, smiling at the end of the day. But we said all of that to say that, just to speak of some practical ways that you can serve in your church, is to just find areas that are needed. Right. Like I said earlier, there's never a shortage of jobs that need to be done, mm-hmm. whether it's cleaning or setting up for service or helping, you know, monitor service or just mentoring to other people. Every task is essential, but a lot of them go unnoticed. So just being willing to serve, but also I think too, and this is a big one for me, and this is one that I had to learn personally, like, serve consistently,
right?
Not for a season.
Mm-hmm.
You don't serve to get something from God. You serve as a way to praise and worship and thank God for the things that he's done in your life. Volunteering and serving in the tough seasons
mm-hmm.
is often what helps you get through those tough seasons. Having something to do, having something that ties you to the body of Christ, having something reminds you that God is still good. Because I guarantee you, if you are having a bad day and you go to the church and you find something to do, you will leave completely different, in a different mood than when you came there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For example, I hate doing laundry, but there's something about being able to take the baptismal robes. That's a tough word. The baptismal robes and the towels, you know, from a baptism home and wash those for the church, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a small task, but, you know, it's those things like that that can be so fulfilling.
Right.
And much more fulfilling than I would have ever imagined them to be myself.
Right.
And to your point about there being so many roles that we didn't even realize, I never would have guessed, coming from home missions works and smaller churches, that it took 4 people to run the sound booth.
Right.
Do you know, I used to run the sound, like I'd play drums and I'd have the mixer right next to me on my left. And so I'm playing with one hand and making adjustments with the other because somebody's standing in the back with their fingers in their ears like it's too loud. Or something, you know, like.
And you're fixing it from the loudest place in the church.
Exactly. Yeah. Which was behind the drums. Yeah. Right? So, you know, if you would have told me that many roles exist just to make the sound tolerable and the lights, you know, useful and all of these things, I would have said, that's crazy. But we need 4, sometimes, heaven help us, 5 people, you know, get just to run the sound and keep things going. And that's, you know, an essential role that needs to be filled because we've got, you know, four computers back there. We've got a light board. We have a mixing console. We need people on the cameras. We have to have somebody who brings the pulpit out when it's time to start preaching, right? All of these things fall into that ministry, and not all of them are the most glamorous, right? I wouldn't say that it's a glamorous role to bring the pulpit out or to, you know, be behind the computer or anything like that. But without it, the experience that a new convert has, the experience that somebody who's hurting and may need that service or may need that particular song that's being sung that day, the experience that they're going to have is going to be diminished by that volunteer's presence not being there. Not because the power of God is not there, not because the power of God can't shape those things, but because we want to do everything decently and in order. And the ability to be decent and in order is diminished when pieces of the puzzle are missing.
Right. And I think if we can, and I know we've talked a lot about serving in the church, but I think the idea of serving and volunteering, it goes way beyond the four walls of any church.
Mm-hmm.
I think serving, to be a true servant and to have a servant's heart, you have to make serving a lifestyle.
Right.
Like, you have to create a mindset where service to others becomes a natural response to the love and grace that you've received from God. And that starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't serve in the church if you're not serving your family first.
Mm.
You know, family is your first ministry, and you have to make sure that, you know, you're serving there and they see you serving them, you know, before they see you serving others.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to make it a priority in my home to let my family know that I'm a servant to them. You know, that I have to be that example of the love that goes further, the love that goes beyond just the basic tasks necessary to keep the lights on and keep the water running and keep things moving in the home, right? There's another level to that, and that's what we should aspire to, because we've said it before, kids are sponges,
mm-hmm.
and they absorb everything that we do and everything that we pour into them. And if I pour the idea of being a servant into my kids, then I'm raising up the next generation of servants that the church needs, and that, more importantly, that the world needs,
right?
That the lost need, that the broken need, right? Because they need someone to serve them just as much as we need somebody to be behind that soundboard. Your point, it goes beyond the four walls. We need people that are willing to go beyond the four walls and to find a place to serve in that area as well.
But I think it could be something as simple as just like everyday interactions with people. Like, you can serve someone with a smile. Like, you can serve someone with a kind word. You can serve someone and minister to their heart just by sending them a text that you were praying for them and that God laid them on your heart. There are so many ways outside of the church that you can serve others that I don't even want to sit here and try to list, because I know I'm not even going to come close to naming them all, but, you know, there's always someone in need.
Right.
You know, and if you don't know what else to do outside of the church to serve, just be kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, serving is about letting God's light shine through you. So just let God's light shine through you. Whether you have a job that you're completing or you're just, you know, going to dinner with your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we want to take that idea and kind of close out with this, that to those of you that are serving, to those of you who are looking to serve, to those of you who have, it feels like an eternity spent in service right now, we want to just encourage you, please don't be weary.
Right.
Don't let the exhaustion of that overwhelm you, and find some way, somehow, to get refilled, because the kingdom needs your hands.
Right.
We've said it before, and I've heard it said so many times before, that we're the only hands, feet, and mouth that he has on this earth, and the kingdom needs you.
Right. And I think your thoughts go right along with my closing thoughts. Serve wherever there's a need. Titles are secondary to the heart of service, and God sees all service, no matter how small or unnoticed you think they may be. God sees them and he notices them, and that is all that matters. You know, and I want to even ask our listeners and challenge our listeners to reflect on how you can serve in the church without, you know, needing a title, and how you can serve in a church just to be an encouragement, you know, to other people. And, you know, to do that, just reach out to your church. You know, if you don't have a church, find a church. But once you have that church body, reach out to someone in the church who may need help, or if you see an area that needs a volunteer, and just ask how you can help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To all the servants out there, to all those looking to serve, and to all of our listeners, we thank you so much for joining us this week. We love you. We are Faith.